Tonight I will be speaking to you part two of the evangelistic series that I've written. Part one, dealing with the church moving forward, evangelizing. Part number two, the church moving forward with enemies to defeat. The theme of in this series of lessons, as I've stated, the church moving forward is stated in Philippians 3 and verses 13 and 14. And it reads as follows. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The church moving forward with enemies to defeat. The term enemy carries the meaning of a person, nations, etc., hostile to one another. We move forward, church, overcoming the enmity, making friends, making needed corrections necessary in moving forward. Paul believed in moving forward and not falling behind. Paul believed that we should not be satisfied with where we are presently, but our need is to always move forward. With this in mind, let us consider how the Lord's church is described as a body, both living and functioning as the head directs. In the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 4 and 5 from the New Living Bible, it teaches, just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the other. Talked about that a little more this morning in Bible study. Many members, yet one body. When I pause like that, you can say body. Yet many members, just one body. Bodies are designed to live, act, and to work in direct harmony with instructions from the head. It is natural for the body to function in such a way today that it would promote quality of life tomorrow. The body has enemies that can destroy, the physical body has enemies that can destroy, damage, or even kill it. Two such physical enemies of the physical body are diseases and accidents. Likewise, the church, the spiritual body of Christ, has enemies that can prevent it from moving into the future. These enemies can cripple, retard, and kill church growth. 4 points tonight, church, and the lesson is complete. Point number one, I spoke to Brother James this morning after he spoke. Told him how much harmony we had one with another, because my lesson tonight, it's going to be somewhat like his was this morning. When I said that, it was coming from the Word of God. Ignorance is an enemy of the body of Christ. Ignorance infers a lack of knowledge in or a choice to ignore true guidance or to disobey God. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, the verses 1 through 5, there we see Jesus informs his followers of his imminent plans to leave their physical presence and return to the Father. Paraphrasing, Jesus said, "Don't let this trouble you. There's enough room in my Father's house for all. I go to make ready in advance of your coming." Verse 3, Jesus says, tells of his plans. In verse 3, Jesus tells of his plans to come again and to get his obedient followers. Those who have made ready spiritually for his return. In verse number 6, Jesus tells Thomas, "Thomas, don't let me forget those, Brother Malone. If you follow me, you won't get lost." In John, the 14th chapter, verse 6, Jesus teaches, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." In John, the 14th chapter, and verse number 6, the word "the," T-H-E, is used to describe Jesus as one of a kind, as a unique spiritual pathway to heaven. Jesus is described as the truth, the answer to man's ignorance of how to get to their heavenly home. Speaking of the wisdom of evil men, Isaiah 59 and verse number 8 from the New Living Bible teaches, listen closer now, they don't know where to find peace or what it means to be just and good. They have mapped out crooked roads, and no one who follows them knows a moment's peace. Church, there are many paths, but only one path that leads to heaven. Amen. Someone has said there's just a one way, Brother Branch, through the pearly gates. Ignorance causes us not to obey God. Amos 3 and verse 10 teaches, "My people have forgotten how to do right, says the Lord. Their fortresses are filled with wealth taken by theft and violence." Ignorance causes God's wrath to come upon us. Zacharias, the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 12, New Living Translation teaches, "Your ancestors refused to hear this message. They stubbornly turn and put their fingers in their ears to keep from hearing. They make their hearts as hard as stone, so they could not hear the instructions or the messages that the Lord of heaven's hosts or heaven's army has sent them by the Spirit through the prophets." That is why the Lord of heaven's host or heaven's army was so angry with them. Ignorance causes us to be lost. Matthew 13 and verse 15, King James Version teaches, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, hardened, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them." Ignorance causes us to please ourselves and not the Lord. Romans 10 and verse 3, King James Version teaches, "For because they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Church, how can we defeat such an enemy as ignorance? We must heed to the word of God. Psalms 119 and verse 97 of the New Living Translation teaches, "Oh, how I love thy instructions. I think about them all day long. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 of the New Living Translation teaches, study, work hard, be diligent, so you can present yourself to Brother Branch, to Jimmy, to God, and win His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. Point number two, the enemy of unbelief, James. Unbelief is a problem for both the saved and the unsaved. John 8 and verse 24, King James Version teaches, I said therefore unto you, that you should die in your sins, for because you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. To believe that God has come among us incarnate, that is to say, in fleshly form, that He might shed blood as a sin atonement for we sinful men. That includes Brother Stone. Is that all right? This is a matter of eternal life or eternal death for all of us. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the chapter is 4, the verses are 3 through 4, King James Version, it teaches. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible clearly gives a warning even to the saved concerning the enemy of unbelief. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 through 14 teaches, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters, that's us, the church, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn others every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believe, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Don't you look forward to that? Eternal life, eternal glory, eternal joy, eternal bliss in heaven with God, the Godhead. Unbelief can keep the church from moving forward. I ask you this question. Can unbelief keep this church, this congregation from moving forward? The answer is yes. There are some even among us who knows God's word and yet refuse to obey it. Their disobedience contagiously affects the growth of the whole body. In Mark, the 9th chapter, in the verses are 14 through 23, Jesus is teaching His disciples, and He is surrounded by a large crowd. Some teachers of religious law begin to argue in unbelief whether Jesus could heal a demon-possessed boy. And verse number 22 of Mark 9, looking at the New Living Translation, listen to the boy's request to Jesus. Listen to the words of his request. He says to Jesus, the evil spirit often throws him into the fire and into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Get this now. if you can. That don't sound like belief to me. Help us if you can. Here's what Jesus said to that. What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. The Father instantly cries out, I do believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. Point number three. The enemy of apathy. The enemy of having no concern for others. The enemy of having no concern for whatever situation the world is in today. Apathy carries the meaning of absence of passion, emotion, interest, or concern for the well-being of another. Well, I'll share a story for you. A wife once asked her husband, honey, do you think the world's problem can be solved, caused by ignorance or apathy? Do you think the world's problems are caused by a lack of knowledge or unconcern? The husband replied, I don't know and I don't care. Sounds to me like he was full of apathy and ignorance. Amen, somebody. I don't know and I don't care. Apathy is very similar to the attitude expressed by the church in Laodicea, who Jesus condemned. Listen to Revelation 3 at verse 15 through 17, King James Version. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because I say, as I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. Church, with us being saved, we must not be self-centered. We must be concerned about the salvation of souls all around us, even in our families. Souls that need to know that salvation is in Christ Jesus. An indifferent person simply do not care. Because they won't care. While an apathetic person is without feeling. They have no feelings of concern. This is not by that church. They have no feeling or concern. The Bible condemns apathy and neglect. You know, I remember over in Genesis, the 4th chapter and verse number 9, a question was asked, Brother Hewlett, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. Somebody says yes, really? Yes, we are. We are our brother's keeper. We must be concerned for our brothers. We must be concerned for our neighbors. Judges 5, verse 23, the New Living Translation over there teaches, let the people of Menog be cursed, said the Lord, the angel of the Lord, let them be cursed because they do not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty warriors. Church, spiritually speaking, apathy, ignorance, and unbelief are mighty warriors that can defeat our spirituality, that can kill our spirituality. We must overcome these enemies. We must not become complacent, indifferent, or at ease in Zion. Is that all right? We must not be without care or apathy, apathetic in the Lord. Listen to Amos 6 and verse 1. It warns, "What sorrow waits you who lounge in luxury in Jerusalem, and you who feel secure in Samaria. You are famous and popular in Israel, and people go to you and ask for help." Then the Lord goes on to say, "I despise your arrogance. You will be handed over to the enemy and die." Do you want the Lord to say something like that about you? Jimmy, I despise your arrogance. You need to humble yourself. I despise your arrogance. You need to, but you won't do it, so therefore, I will hand you over to the enemy and you will die. Fourthly, the enemy of sin. The enemy of sin must be defeated if we are to win eternal life. If we are to move forward. Sin is the most obvious enemy to the church. We cannot move forward as long as we stay in our sins. Sins attacked all of mankind, and all of mankind succumbs to sin at some point during their life. Romans 3 and verse 23 of the King James Version teaches, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Somebody say, "Uh-uh, not me." Then you make God a lie and you truth. It is the word of God working in our hearts that determine whether we be temporary or permanent prisoners of sin. John 8 and 34 through 36. Sin is the result of lingering heart diseases, such as apathy, unbelief, and ignorance. James 1 and verse 14 and 15 teaches, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away." 1 Samuel 15, "These desires give birth to sinful action. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." Desire yields temptation. Desire yields sin. Sin matures and yields death. Romans 6, 23. 1 John 5 and verse number 18 teaches, "We know that God's children, God's obedient children, does not make a practice of sinning. For, or because God's Son, God's Word, God's will holds them securely. And the evil one, the Satan, cannot touch them." Good news, church. God has a plan of salvation for the sins of man. God's plan is a continuous cleansing of the faithful from sin. By the blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice for our sin. Christ's purpose is to present the church, his body, to his Father without wrinkle or blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. We must stay in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, this blood has its effect. It continuously cleanses. Somebody say, "But you have been baptized. What do you? I got to do what's right. I got to follow what God tells me to do, even though I've been baptized. I've been put in the water and come back up. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now go and do what's right." not just to be a pew setter. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 and 13 teaches us that in overcoming the enemy of sin, each member of the body of Christ must encourage each other not to allow anger, hurt, and malice to overtake us and lead us to sin and death. The scripture teaches that we faithful believers already have the victory over the enemies in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 15, 57 and 58, King James Version teaches. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God has a plan of salvation for the souls of men. We must follow God's plan to be saved. We must hear and believe the gospel, Romans 10, 17. We must repent of past sins, Luke 13, 3. We must confess Christ Jesus as God's Son, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. We must be baptized, that is to say, immersed in water, this for remission of our sins. Then we must come up out of that watery grave of baptism, a new creature in Christ Jesus, living according to God's plan, according to God's will, unto death. Despite the trials and tribulations of this life, somebody say, I've been baptized, my trials and tribulations are over. No, wrong. We've only just begun. I like that song too. It's only just begun. We must be faithful to Christ Jesus even unto death. We're going to ask our song leader.